for eternal significance. Did you seek his will? I want to read 1 Chronicles again just to give you an idea of who that God is. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in thine earth, in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. What we just sing about, I exalt thee. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. That is our God. That is the God we serve. That's right, Caitlin. I want to give you my foundational scripture because that was not it. I just got it on the sidebar here. And it's in Matthew 6, verse 24, and it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we seek you right now. Open our hearts to receive your word, Lord, that it be sowed on solid ground, that it change us, pierce our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, flow through me, speak through me, Lord. Only your words, not my own. Block out all the distractions. This world is nothing. You are worthy, Lord. Let your word flow through. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. I titled the sermon, Master. No man can serve two masters. That scripture, the foundational scripture, came up actually verbatim in Luke 16:13. And so there must be some importance here, and it had to have struck a chord with the disciples. Because in Luke 16:13, he said again, no servant can serve two masters. In master, in the Greek, is kurios. Is he to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding. And I thought this last part, the owner, the one who has control of the person. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is confidence and wealth and treasure. God wants you to serve him. He's the king above all kings. He's the Lord above all lords. It says, servant, are you a slave to him? Are you a slave to him? Are you a slave to sin or your desires? There are so many warnings in the scripture. This is serious. It's been tough the last few weeks as far as these messages that God has been giving. But I have to question, what is your master? Who is your master? Things? Life? People? Status? Do you covet what others have? Are you so focused on amassing things here in this world that you have no time for God? You only have enough time for an hour on Sunday morning. Is he number one or does he take a back seat? Is he driving you, or did you put him in the trunk? In Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 31, you guys can feel free, there are Bibles right there. It says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And here Jesus speaks a parable to him. And he says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this is what I'll do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So he already had He had barns. He had things. He had possessions. And instead, what he did was decide to tear those down and build more and amass more. And I'm reminded of that because this week, while I was at work, I was talking to one of my clients. And Robert is his name. And I've talked to Robert for probably the last 13 years since I was working. And Robert worked diligently to pay off his mortgage. He wanted it paid off so he and his wife could retire. And so they were so focused. They had focus, boom, boom, boom. And then in June, they paid off their mortgage as the goal. Like, hey, we're going to retire now. We're going to pay off our mortgage. And July 1st, his wife passed away. And I was talking to him, and he said, you know, we had a great plan. We had a great plan. It just didn't work that way, you know. And I said, you know, God had a different plan. But his so focused, you know, our focus to push to retirement and to amass these things and just accumulate. And pay down and when seek first the kingdom. That's not your focus. Your focus isn't, God will take care of those things. And that's what he says later in the scripture here. He said, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be? See, those are temporal. Those barns, they're going to burn and destroy in the fire. And he says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and he's not rich towards God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And he says, consider the ravens, for neither they sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, but God feeds them. How much are you better than the fowls, those birds? And which of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? You can't think about it to grow. Give yourself. You can't even give yourself another second. God ordains every breath you give, you get. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast in the oven. How much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. And I love this part, and I bolded it for myself. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. You are not of this world. If you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, and you believe unto him, you are not of this world. You are called to be set apart. And the Father knows that you have need of these things, but seek ye the kingdom of God. We sang about that. We sang about the kingdom. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. But you have to seek him first. It doesn't say he'll take care of you so you can be wealthy and have all these things and possessions. But he said, I'll take care of you. I know your needs. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, we're talking about two masters here. It says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You can't serve the world, live in the world, do all the things of the world, then just drink the cup of the Lord on Sunday. I did my holiness 1 hour, my 2 hours. I said a prayer at night. That doesn't make you a child of God. That's not holiness. You're deceiving yourself if you think that is enough. It says, seek him first. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul. That's what needs to happen. Every breath you take is for him. It's to glorify him. James chapter 1 verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-mindedness, one toe in, one toe out. I'm in the world. I'm in the church. I'm in the world. I'm in the church. Think about that. And he's unstable. You may think you have your act together until those waves come crashing in and the storms of life come at you. and then you're just found desolate if you're not in the Lord. Think of the verse about the in the Bible where the man, it talks about the people who built their homes, and the one built it on sandy ground, not stable, versus the man who built the home on the rock. So when the storms came in, one house remained. It wasn't the one on the sandy ground. It was on the rock. You get one choice. One choice you're going to make. Is it of the world and damnation, or is it of the Lord and eternal? We've been talking about all these things, about surrendering your life, giving your heart to the Lord. It's time to get serious. In Hosea chapter 10, verses 1 to 2, he's talking about Israel here. He said, Israel is an empty vine. Now, take it in reality into us. Put it in perspective to America today. Israel is an empty vine. He brings forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he has increased the altars according to the goodness of his land. They have made goodly images, idols. Think about America today. We talked about it before, about the persecution that's happening worldwide. But then America, we have all these things that take our focus. And it says their heart, it's divided. They shall be found faulty, guilty. You're going to stand before the Lord, guilty. He shall break down their altars and he's going to spoil their images. The great deceiver sits here and looks at America and most of the churches in America, and he doesn't have much work to do because they're deceiving themselves. They're deceiving themselves. Health, wealth, and luxury, if you believe in Jesus. That scripture does. There's no scriptures in here that say that. But that's our focus. And then when it doesn't work, you're found unstable. You don't get it. It's like, well, I believed unto God, but I didn't get those things. I didn't get that new car. I didn't get the new house. I didn't get the promotion that I wanted. I don't have the huge bank accounts. So it doesn't work for me. And then they turn away. And there's a famine in the land right now, a famine of God's word. There are some who are bold, will continue to preach it and speak until the Lord returns. And they need to hear it. They need to hear the truth, guys. Truth. Not emptiness. In 1 Kings, in chapter 18, verses 21, and you guys may know the story about with the prophets of Baal and Elijah. And it says, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Israel, of all the things they've seen and done, like that the Lord saw them through, God saw him through, yet they were faulty between two opinions. They would serve God for a while, then turn away. You ever find that? You ever find that? Like, hey, I'm on fire for the Lord today. But then the cares of the world, that's what it says, the cares of the world come in and rob. Steals the word, that truth in your heart. It took God sending fire upon and consuming that sacrifice to get Israel to realize that. That's the fire. Holy Spirit comes into you. Holy Spirit, fire is like a resemblance of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the resemblances of it. It says tongues of fire, you know, come upon their head. Holy Spirit comes upon you. It changes you. God's trying to catch your attention, just like he was trying to catch Israel's attention there. Wake up! Wake up! I need you focused on me. You can't serve another God and inherit his kingdom. There's one way, and it says it's narrow. It's the narrow way, folks. So think about your heart, where you're at. What is the God? What is your idol? What is standing between you? In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, it says, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't look back. Keep your focus. In exhibit self-control. In 2 Peter, he actually says that. self-control. There's so many distractions. Temptations come our way. It's like, bam, bam, bam. There's all this stuff coming at us. You're in your workplace. Distractions come in. Life gets in the way. Something goes not your way. You have a bill come your way. I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. And now your focus is on this rather than your God. Seeking Him first. We talked about my friend who lost mom and dad this in 1 week. She lost her parents in 1 week. Mom earlier in the week, dad later in the week. Now that can consume that person. But God can change that. It says in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded people. I'm reminded in 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 22, it says, but it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, that the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. It's the mud. So why does the pig return to the mud? It gets washed off, and then it goes right back to the mud. It's because it's its nature. That's the nature of the pig. And we, as human, have a sin nature that just consumes us. So we get washed off, right? And now, you know, worshiping the Lord, and then right there, our sin consumes us. And now we go back to serving sin. But the power of the Lord in Ezekiel 36:27, and He says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. How awesome is that? The supernatural God puts His spirit in you. So you are no longer a slave to that sin. That sin nature's gone. You don't have to go back to the mud. You don't have to go back to sin. You don't have to go back to serving that master. It doesn't have dominion over you. You've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. It's eternal. Now He can have your focus. Serve Him. He's the master. We talked about Ephesians chapter 3. I've used that scripture, I think, every week now. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit, capital S, in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length, depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It passes knowledge, our understanding of things, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. How? Think about God, and you can't even comprehend. I gave you that scripture in 1 Chronicles. You can't comprehend God, who was there before time began. We as humans, we can't even comprehend, but it says, you can have that fullness of God in you. See, in the Old Testament, they were looking for the Holy Spirit. They were looking for Jesus. They were looking for the Messiah. So everything they did was through sacrifice. They had those miracles. They had, like, you know, Elijah, you know, calling down the fire from heaven just to focus on that promise. But you have the Holy Spirit in you. That's a miracle. God's Spirit is in you. You're not looking forward to the promise. The promise was there. It's here. You have life now, a new life. You are different. Now, unto Him that is is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that works in us. It's not us and the power, it's the Holy Spirit in us. He works through us to touch people. It's a dark and dying world, guys. Dark, dark. Every time you turn on the news, there's something new going on. You're unsure, like, you know, what's going to happen? Who's going to be president now? What's going to happen? You as a child of God don't need to have any fear. We are citizens of heaven and He is in control.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Brian, can you come on up? Because of His Holy Spirit, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 6, and we're just going to go through the whole thing. I did it in the New Living Translation just because I like how it reads, because we talked about being a slave to Him versus a slave to our things. And it says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined Him in His death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. That glorious power is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. That is just awesome. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. A new life. A life abundant in Christ. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin loses its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. It has no power, no dominion over you. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. Because we are sure, a sureness is in us. Because Christ was raised from the dead, He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over Him. Because when He died once. Once to break the power of sin. But now that He lives for the glory of God. Do you live for the glory of God? To glorify Him in every action and deed? So you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Alive. Don't be a chosen frozen. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Every day, guys, every day. There's an action there. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now that you have new life, you have to give to God every day. Wake up. Put on the armor of God. Walk in His way, His righteousness. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace, His empowering presence for you to do and be what you cannot do and be on your own. Since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? That's a choice. You can choose who you want to serve. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, eternal death and damnation. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living, His way of living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you are wholeheartedly obeying this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Paul said, I am a bondman. I am chained to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the weakness of your human nature, he uses the illustration of slavery to help you understand it. Previously, you let yourselves, therefore, be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which leads even deeper to sin. I remember Dad preaching about the progressive nature of sin. He used David as the example, where he looked twice onto Bathsheba. And then, boom, adultery, murder. It just progresses. It's progressive. The sin nature is progressive. You have to stop it. Give yourselves to be slaves of righteous living so that you become holy. The sanctification process to live holy. It's an action. It takes effort. It takes to live by direction of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you were slaves of sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. So I question, if you guys would just bow your head, close your eyes. You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, the things that ended in eternal doom. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Is that true of you? Do you hate the things of the past? Are you ashamed of the things you did? Are you now a peculiar person? A child of God? Your desire is to live holy, to glorify Him in all your actions and deeds. If you're not, if you don't understand that change, maybe the Spirit's not in you. Maybe you know about God, but you really don't know Him. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You must make a choice, as Joshua laid out to Israel. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. How many would raise your hand to say that I've gone through the motions? I know of God, but I don't know God. I don't know Him. I'm not a slave to Him and His way. It's His righteousness. And I want to make that right. I want to serve Him. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. And how many would raise your hand today in reaffirmation to commit your life to that the true Master, the Master of Heaven? Hallelujah. That we choose this day, Lord, as you see by the hands, that we choose this day to serve you, Lord Jesus. So we seek you. We seek you first in all that we do, in every step of our life. Moving forward, we will not look back like Lot did. We press on in the faith to glorify you in all action and deed, Lord. You are worthy. The King above all kings, that we may be found when you return, Lord, righteous and holy, a holy bride that is looking for its groom. Be with us as we go now, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.